Thanks again to Jesse Ackler. Had a nice discussion of playground games when he was gone. And I don't even think anything we played, like, you know, fifth grade, sixth grade, out on the playground at elementary school is even allowed anymore.
You say that, man, but I picked up Bo from school last year, and he would do soccer after school one day a week. And I mean, look, they were playing basketball, but it wasn't basketball. I mean, it was, it was rough. Like, I didn't see a teacher in sight. So, I mean, I think there's still a little bit of fend for yourself.
You bring up
there
a good point, because you can try to regulate it out, and there's no more dodgeball or butts up or
butts up.
Well, the games that we all played when we were in the playground, and it was, it was Lord of the Flies out there.
It really was.
And you can try to legislate it out, like make a bunch of rules and these games can't be played. But that aggression is still inherent, especially to, 10, 12-year-old boys. And they can just have them play soccer or basketball. They're just going to make it rougher that way when they're not getting their aggression out in the somewhat unsanctioned games that we used to play.
No, 100%.
I mean, I didn't love them. I mean, I was not a fan of, because I wasn't one of the more aggressive kids, obviously.
Well, recess was,
but you had to play.
Recess was like you said, Lord of the Flies. I mean, it was fend for yourself.
How many recesses did you guys have in elementary school?
We just had one.
We had three.
We had recess, then we had lunch, was mostly recess. Like you'd eat for 5 minutes, and then 30 minutes you'd go out and play.
That's about right.
And then there was a PE in the afternoon, which was more of a organized outdoor time. So you had the three times outside.
Adam says they don't allow Red Rover in the elementary school district. Yeah, Red Rover was rough.
That got banned at my elementary school at some point.
People
when I was
getting
there
choked out. Clothesline.
Yeah, Red Rover, Red Rover. Send Woodsy right over.
Like, oh God, I'm dead.
You try to find the smallest kid and try to break through those arms.
Yeah, Megan says Tetherball. Tetherball was...
Oh, God, I love Tetherball.
Tetherball was great.
And yes, there was the... Smear the slur that we used to play as well.
We used to play that.
No one could be proud of it, but that was the worst of all.
Box hockey, which was
there was literally no rules other than just mauling someone.
Throw the ball up in the air and kill the guy that catches
it's just
it.
Horrible.
Just kill him. I mean, just like a punt return, essentially. But it's four square. That was a game I never liked.
Tetherball was even pretty gnarly, because that ball, when it started swinging around on a rope, could do some damage. You get it in the face, that was not fun.
The greatest game, though, in elementary school, I think bar none, was kickball. There was nothing like kickball. How do you want it?
Baby bouncies.
Yeah, baby bouncies.
Slow rollers.
Slow rollers, yeah. That was the best. It was baseball with kicking. Yeah. It was so much fun. I watch him, man, out at their little recess, and they're playing hoops, and they don't know how to dribble. So they just bowl people over and then chuck up shots, and he's gotten in trouble like 20 times this year playing too rough at basketball.
That was so much fun, like basketball or something like that, because like I said, my elementary school, we had three recesses, morning, lunch, and afternoon. So you would get like three games in, and you'd have the same teams. You're like, oh, we're going to get your ass in the next recess break or whatever.
Oh,
you just went out there and sweat. You're running your ass off for 10 or 15 minutes.
Come back
then
in.
Go back in.
Social studies. You're like,
learn about it.
And then terrible. There was the completely overwhelmed playground monitor with the whistle.
Yeah, there's nothing.
Who was in charge of 400 kids who were out there at once. There was one, woman with a whistle who was supposed to keep everybody in line the entire time. Good luck to you, ma'am or sir, whoever's job that was.
At Bo school, too, it's like volunteers. The teachers at recess are like,
they're going to break room. Yeah, this is our break. We're going to the break room. We're leaving it to the playground monitor to monitor 7-8 classes that are all out there together at the same time.
I told you guys a while back. It's one of my favorite stories. Miss Brumfield, that was our playground monitor in elementary school. And for years, she called me Carl.
I remember that.
Carl Reindl.
She kept calling me Carl. And finally, I got in trouble for...
You yelled at her. It's Paul!
I got in trouble for running or something where you weren't supposed to be running. And she goes, Carl, come over here. And I turned around and said, my name's not Carl! God's attention.
I used to call my brother Carl as an insult when I was a kid. No offense to any Carls out
there. I don't think we even had a Carl at the school.
I never actually met a real Carl.
They don't exist.
No. But I used to call him Carl, and it used to make him so mad.
I was already pissed because I got in trouble for something, and then I just snapped and screamed at her and got attention. Mom's like, well, what'd you do? I was like,
well, it's time. It's actually
time.
Isn't it time for the Carl report?
Carl Reindl report.
Take it away, Carl.
Hey, get things started here with our... today's edition of the Reindl Report.
Now tuned into the motherfucking greatest. Welcome to the Rindle Report with Paul Rindle.
Hi, Paul.
All right.
Two stories from the world of sports that we haven't gotten to yet.
We'll start off in Major League Baseball.
And one story that you didn't know you needed.
Are you laughing, biatch?
It's the Rindle Report.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
On 97.3, The Fan.
Are you ready to bless the mood? I need some help, please.
That was good.
Can I get a
Carl.
Take it away, Carl.
Famous Carls. Carl Lewis.
Carl Reiner.
Carl's Jr.
Carl's Jr. It's a good one.
Carl Sagan. I don't have many other Carls out there. Carls.
George Carl.
That's the, that's a basketball game. Woods comes up with George Carl.
That's all I think about. 24/7. Hoops.
Hey, he was the head coach of the Sonics, I think.
Yes, he was.
I got in trouble.
Yes, he was. Yeah.
All right. We'll start off in the NFL. Interesting story. Fun story here. Two-time defensive and Pro Bowler Josh Allen, not quarterback for the Bills, but the Jaguars' top defensive player, Josh Allen. He is changing his name heading into the upcoming NFL season. He's changing his last name to read Hines-Allen.
Oh, he's
Joshua Hines-Allen. And he's doing this to pay tribute to, it says, his maternal side of his family and other relatives who have worn Hines and Hines-Allen on their jerseys.
That's a good story.
It is.
It is a really nice story that he has concocted to hide the real reason. There's another way more famous Josh Allen in the league. And you never want to be the second most famous player in the league with a name, right?
Yeah.
Do you think he cares?
Yeah, I think he cares. I think that's a big reason why he's changing his name.
I think he's doing it to honor his, what was it, grandmother?
Yeah, his mother's family side. And it says on ESPN, so his sister plays for the Washington Mystics in the WNBA, and she has Hines Allen on the back. His sisters both play college basketball, or played college basketball. They had Hines Allen on their backs.
Makes sense to me.
In addition, his uncle was drafted by the Warriors in 1983 after a Hall of Fame career at Hampton University. Also had Hines Allen, so he's you know, paying tribute to the whole family. That's his story. Ben thinks he's just covering because he doesn't want to be Josh Allen.
He's so negative. You're so negative. You always think the worst of people.
His quote on his Instagram.
It's not a bad thing. I think it's smart, actually, to not have the same exact name as a more famous player in the league.
He's established, though, isn't he? Yeah.
He's
not
a,
Carl.
Not Carl.
Yeah.
Josh Allen's a two-time Pro Bowler. He's a very good defensive player.
He's now Carl Allen.
But when anyone says, you know, NFL player Josh Allen, who do you think of?
Josh Allen.
Josh
Allen.
Yeah, exactly. The quarterback of the Bills. So you need to do something to differentiate from the Josh Allen everyone thinks you're referring to.
Well, Mikey agrees with Miley in the chat. Agrees with
he posted a picture of the new jersey pointing to the back to the nameplate, and he says on Instagram, "Legacy is forever, and I'm proud to carry that tradition on the back of my jersey, following in the footsteps of my family who have donned the Hines Allen last name with so much pride and joy."
There is a
suck it, Ben Higgins.
There is a reason that why didn't he do it sooner? But somebody just said in the chat, Ben, you're the second most famous Ben Higgins after the Bachelor guy. Maybe you should go back to Dan Stevens.
Fair enough.
I will never get over Dan Stevens, ever. Pick a name, kid. You need a different name. Dan Stevens sounds very radio-like.
Yeah,
doesn't also it? Sounds made up and like a porn star. Dan Stevens.
All right.
Dan Stevens.
I don't like this second story because, look, I think Woods would also agree with this. I love a good commitment to the bit, but sometimes I think it can be dragged out too far.
Well, sometimes it gets ridiculous.
And Skip Bayless for a long time. You're like, this is a bit. That's the worst opinion. That's the worst take I've ever heard. You have to just be doing this for the clicks. You know you don't believe this, and you're doing this because that's your shtick.
What's his latest?
The latest has to do with LeBron James.
Okay, shocker.
Bronny James.
Right.
LeBron James Jr. So he was on his the Skip Bayless show, I think. And, here's what he had to say.
I think he'll be more calm, cool, and collected in the eye of next year's storm than even his father will be.
No. Oh.
I think he'll play pretty well alongside his father. I think Bronny will be pretty good. I think he'll become a clutch three-point shooter. I've always gotten the feeling that Bronny had a bigger clutch gene than his father does.
I mean,
you have to tip your hat. Yeah, absolutely. The fact that he's able to say it with a straight face is astounding. It's astounding.
I think Bronny, who scored like 4 points in his summer league debut and
he's gonna be better.
Averaged
he's
3 points a game in his 1 year of college basketball,
yeah.
got the bigger clutch gene in the family than dad.
LeBron James.
Game-winning threes in the finals.
You're going for 20 straight years on LeBron is overrated.
It's incredible,
At some point, you feel like, I'm eventually going to be right. I am going to stick with this until he retires. Guy is overrated.
I mean, doesn't it do him... I guess, isn't it like better to come in 10 years ago? You know what? I was wrong. I'll wear it. You know, like that gives you more.
I would think so. But.
I would think so too. And there's nothing wrong with being wrong about a player. It happens all the time to all of us.
Oh, yeah.
All of us have been wrong.
LeBron did, in a way, agree when he said, Bronny is probably going to handle all of this attention better than I would have. I unfortunately care too much what people say and think.
Yeah.
Bronny doesn't really care. He's got that gene where he doesn't care that much.
I heard that. LeBron also said, like, it's two different tales. Like, Bronny, you know, thank everything that has happened in my life. Bronny doesn't have to play basketball. Bronny's going to be good.
He's fine.
He's going to be just fine. Whereas LeBron's like, I had to make it. It was the only way out from Akron. I had to make it. Bronny doesn't necessarily have to do that.
But. Yeah, he said if you want to be a chef or a gamer or whatever, like, I'm going to take care of him. He's fine. We got plenty of money.
Yeah, good.
Could have done whatever he wanted, but he put the work in
to get
to basketball to get to this point.
Yeah, and let's not also act like he's not a massive Nepo baby, too. Right. I mean, both things can be true.
It's not it to absolutely, his fault
it's not
or
to
anything.
His fault. Like, can't help who his old man is.
Somebody asked in the chat, how much does this dude get paid, Skip Bayless? Well, he's in the middle of a 4-year, $32 million contract that he signed with Fox Sports
$8 million
a couple years ago.
$8 million dollars a year.
For takes like that.
It's something else, man. And then finally, this should probably be defined as punishment, I would say. But I was reading one of our favorite websites. Woodsy turned us on to it. Consequence of Sound.
They do
music, television, movies, a lot of pop culture stories. So I like to check that out in the morning for some Rind Report stories. And they've got one here that says that Bob Dylan, our old buddy, has announced a massive... new 431 song box set collecting every single surviving soundboard recording from his legendary 1974 tour with the band.
Like on what format?
400
vinyl?
Yeah, it looks like vinyl.
7,500 records. They drop it off in one of those moving boxes that you just have to go pull the record out. How many albums?
Storage container
on September 20th. The new box set will feature 431 newly mixed songs across 27 discs, including 417 of them being never before released tracks.
I can't believe it. I absolutely can't believe it. Did you see who's here already?
I did.
He's early.
Oh, my man.
Kyle Higashioka is in the building.
Well, what are we talking about Bob Dylan for?
What would you say is the average length of a Bob Dylan song?
4 minutes.
4 minutes?
Four to five minutes.
431 songs times 4 minutes divided by 60 minutes per hour. So it would take you probably around 29 hours straight to listen.
Next week, there's no baseball. We just start at 6 and we play all of the tracks of Bob Dylan. We'll talk through them, over them.
Only for 4 hours a day. It'll take us like 3 weeks.
The entire All-Star break?
The whole break. We get through as much as we can next week on the show.
It comes out in September. This will take us through like the entire month of November.
You know I like avant-garde radio. I don't think there's much more avant-garde radio than that. Strap in for next week. It's going to get real weird.
All right. Well, now that Josh Allen is changing his name, I don't know if there's going to be room for two Higgies in the studio at one time. We're going to have to fight over the nickname. When we come back, though, Kyle Higashioka, Padres catcher, going to be with us. Don't go anywhere. Check traffic and then returning with more Bennett Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. It's already started.
Oh, it's already started.
I knew this would happen. Woods, he was so excited. I mean, I'm excited as well. Obviously, we'll talk some baseball with our next guest in studio, but the music talk has already begun because joining us right now in studio, this is a real treat, Padres catcher Kyle Higashioka is here during a homestand here. You got the All-Star break coming up, but appreciate you stopping by this morning, Kyle. Good to see you.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
It's good to see you again in person. And what a well, we want to do baseball first or what?
No, we got a short segment here. Let's just get comfortable.
Let's get comfortable first.
Dive in here.
So we were talking about the fact that you use Rats Lay It Down for your walk up. I love it so much, and I love hip hop, and I like country. But with everybody having a hip-hop song or Morgan Wallen song as their walk-up, and you go with Rat. San Diego, by the way, legendary band. Mickey Rat went to L.A. and became Rat. I love that about you. It's my favorite.
Yeah, I think it's like a nice little tribute to, you know, wherever you're playing. You know, I try to choose a song that's from a, you know, hopefully a local band.
Yeah.
And, you know, Rat's one of my favorites.
Yes.
So it's like, that was an easy choice for me.
Lifetime contract for Kyle Higashioka. If I were the boss.
It makes sense, though. Woods, you're 48, almost 49, mm-hmm. and you kind of grew up in the 80s like we did. Now, you're younger. You're 34. So
yeah.
Rat was already well established by the time you were probably kind of getting into different music. How did you become a fan of a band that was not necessarily in their prime when you were in your, you know, teen formative music years?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't really listen to them much when I was growing up. It's just when I started playing guitar, that was probably my first spring training. I started playing guitar, and so I really started diving deep into the world of hard rock guitarists, and I discovered all these bands from the 80s that were just like incredible.
Shredders, two of the best in that band too.
You got it's still like a mainstream sound. It's like a more of like a pop vocal, mm-hmm. so it's super catchy. All the songs are super catchy, but then you got more of a heavy metal style guitar, which is that's kind of right up my alley. So Rat was one of them. Warren DeMartini, he's one of my favorites.
Yes.
This is George Lynch,
yep.
One of my favorites.
From Dokken,
Eddie Van Halen.
Eddie
obviously.
Van Halen, of course. Legendary.
Yeah.
I love that. I love that you use it, too. It just makes me excited every time, because if I was a big leaguer, I would play it. But they're like, well, of course you would. You're 48 years old. You're going to play Rat. And you shouldn't be in the big leagues because you're 48 years old. You can't hit. You can't play defense. You can't run. There's nothing really that you bring to the table. But, hey, what a great run that you guys are on, and of course you personally. I know, you know, it seems like a locker room, Kyle, that everyone's really pretty friendly and tight and pulling for each other right now. It's been some pretty magical moments for you and the team these first, you know, the half of the season.
Yeah. I mean, the thing that's impressed me the most about this team is just the resilience. I don't think I've ever been on a team that's been so prone to coming back anytime we're down. It's just every game that we're within, you know, a few runs at the end, we're always feeling like we're gonna make something happen in the ninth, and it doesn't always happen, but it's happened enough to where it's like, wow, this is we might have something special here.
I think people forget, anytime you get to the big leagues, obviously you were a phenomenal player growing up, high school, all the way through to get to the big leagues, but you haven't had a chance to play as regularly as you have lately that often in your career. You've kind of been in that backup role with the Yankees and then started with the Padres in that same role. When was the last time you felt like you were kind of on a heater like you've been on for these last few weeks?
I mean, I don't think I've ever, you know, played, had a month like that,
yeah.
like I had in June. So, but yeah, I mean, to me, it's like, you know, I believe that I'm capable of that. It's just baseball is all about.
It's good to actually see it, though.
Yeah.
When you always hear guys when they get on those heaters, and I would ask you the same question, when they get on those heaters, they're like, I don't want to go home. I don't want to have to wait until tomorrow. I want. It's like a good golf round. You always have your me. I always play really well on 18, and then I'm done. And I'm like, I just want to keep playing. Is that was that what this last month has been like for you? Like, I cannot wait to get back there and get after it again.
Yeah. I mean, you always want to be you always want to be playing when you're playing well. So, but yeah, I mean, the game's all about consistency, though. So, you know, the best players they have months like that. More often than just once a year, so you know, that's what I'm striving for, trying to keep that going for the rest of the year.
Talking to Kyle Higashioka is in studio with us, and I heard I've heard talk of like a slight stance adjustment and things that have worked well for you, but you know, you started a new team, you come to San Diego, and there was like an 0-for-20 stretch where you're only getting to play once every few days. Did you feel at the time that you were like close though, like you were gonna, you're about to break out of it? And how frustrating was that to come to a new team, come back to your home state, and get off to kind of a slow start before this latest stretch?
Yeah, you know, you always want to impress when you go to a new team, so it's definitely tough when you're not exactly swinging the bat so great. But I mean, you know, historically, I've been kind of a slow starter, and I mean, I tried to make adjustments this year to mitigate that, but obviously, still got off to a slow start. So it didn't really, I wasn't in full panic mode, but it's definitely, you know, when you have a stretch like that where you're hitless in 20 at bats, you start to try new things, and sometimes it's actually, you know, you come out better on the other side for it.
Let's go to break.
Yeah, okay, we're going to take a quick timeout. When we come back, I want to ask Kyle, obviously, about catching Matt Waldron, which is something he's been asked to do that no other catcher in Major League Baseball has done in several years now.
Yeah, man.
And he's got to do it every fifth day for the San Diego Padres. And I don't know if you noticed, but Woods did bring the guitar in.
Yeah, that's all. That's not always here, just for the record.
So
we've got it running. We got run through a board and everything.
It's possible he may ask you to pick it up at some point.
I might.
So we'll see what happens after the break. Final segment of Ben and Woods, Kyle Higashioka in studio. Coming back next year on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Sour 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by the Frozen Ropes Baseball and Softball Training Facilities. Frozen Ropes signing up athletes age 6 through 12 for baseball, softball, summer camps. Half-day, full-day options available. Make it a Frozen Ropes summer like Bo Woods over there. For more information, visit SanDiegoFrozenRopes.com. That's SanDiegoFrozenRopes.com.
Yeah, we haven't even mentioned the little guy's here today. You know, it's summer. We need care for him. So his old man just brings him to work. You had a question for Higgy you wanted to ask yesterday, you said, right?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
What does it take to break in a catcher's mitt?
Look at that. Better question than his old man has ever asked. Ever, never. Oh, that's first time. All right. So, what do you do to break in your catcher's mitt, Kyle?
For me, I basically just catch pitches.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't really like to do anything crazy with it.
It doesn't go in the oven.
Like my wife.
I try not to add any extra weight to the leather by like, you know, getting it too wet or anything. For me, like, you know, having a light catcher's glove is super important, because that way I can just react quicker.
But it kind of begs it leads into the next question of catching Matt Waldron, and you get you're over here with the Padres, and they're like, hey, welcome. You know, this is going to be your role, and you're going to catch Matt Waldron, who throws this absolutely filthy knuckleball. How much experience had you had in your life, Little League and beyond, catching somebody that threw a knuckleball consistently?
Zero.
Zero.
Yeah.
Zero. Always a fun thing to learn at the big league level, trying to contribute on a new team in a new city. As you said, you want to impress, and here's this.
Speaking of gloves, did that require a new mitt?
Yeah, you can't use the big one. You can't use the big floppy one that they use, right?
We just don't have one right now. So it's like,
I'll take one if anyone's got one.
If anyone has one, we'll drop it off in the studio.
I mean, there's been so much talk about it. They say that big floppy knuckleball mitt is great for knuckleballs, but Waldron also throws in, you know, 93.
Yeah.
And that's not going to feel good on your hand in that thin, floppy mitt. So you kind of have to wear the regular mitt for his other pitches.
Well, I mean, we found a knuckleball mitt, and it's just not broken in. So we're kind of trying to break that in a little bit. I'm open to trying it, but yeah, I mean, it's just right now I'm using my backup glove, which is just bigger and floppier than my normal glove.
We hear the stories about Matt and the Tim Wakefield stories when they went to Boston and talking to Tom Candiotti and the other knuckleballers. Have they set you up with anybody who's ever caught a knuckleball? Like, to like, how do you, is there any like techniques or anything like instruction they've been able to give you? Because most of the coaches don't have any experience with this either.
Yeah. Some of the other guys were telling me, you know, let the ball travel. And I remember when the Yankees came into town, Trevino was telling me about some time that he had to catch a knuckleball guy. And, you know, he was like, saying something about keeping the thumb up or sitting side saddle. So I've also like listened to some interviews that Josh Tolley, you know, has given about it, and also I've heard some advice through the grapevine from Doug Mirabelli. But other than that, I mean, you know, I'm kind of flying solo.
Yeah, I mean you're winging it a little bit, but again, there's obviously, it's six of one, half dozen of the other. Catching a knuckleball is really difficult, and you know, especially Matt's is just incredible, and they show it on television slowed down. And I think the layman goes, "Oh, what's so hard about that? It's not even moving that fast." But there's an art form to it, obviously, because you don't get reps doing it. The ones that get me though, for you guys, is a guy like Morahone, who comes in throwing 97 top of the zone, snaps off a slider in the dirt. I don't know how you guys do it. I'm amazed by it. Your preference, though, if you get Matt Waldron or you get Morahone and that nasty biting slider at your feet, what's easier for you?
Morahone? Yeah.
It's crazy to me. Like, it's just crazy to me.
Yeah.
I love it, man. It's been really fun watching you, you know, hit the ball out of the ballpark, watching you guys contribute. Tell us a little bit, if you can. I know the clubhouse is really sacred, but we talk to Mike Schilt every day. The general mood of the team. I know it's your first year with the team, but you guys really seem to enjoy playing with each other a lot.
Yeah. I think kind of, you know, I think, you know, I can't speak for what, you know, went on last year, but I think a lot of guys kind of learned a little bit from their experience last year, which was probably, from what I gather, a similar experience that I had at Yankees last year, where it's like we kind of underperformed, you know, didn't meet expectations. And so, you know, the general kind of vibe in the clubhouse is everyone's bought into doing whatever it takes to win ball games. And, you know, as of right now, this year, I think, you know, we're on a good path. We're looking to find some consistency, but I think we're showing signs of that. And, you know, everyone's just fully bought into to doing whatever it takes.
Kyle Higashioka is with us in studio. And Potters have what? 8 walk-offs this year, yeah. Including yours, Kyle, about a month ago. Now, we talked about it the day after. In terms of the walk-off celebrations, you know, we just saw Manny the other day, and everyone's slapping high fives as you're going down to first base. Yours was the most reserved of all of them. And that fits a little more with your personality. But I don't know. What, like, with all these celebrations that go, what do you feel like what's your go-to move on the celebrations?
Nothing.
Yeah.
Low heartbeat guy.
Are you even out there? Are you out there on some of the other ones?
I'm not the hype guy.
Jackson Merrill. We have other guys dancing and doing everything.
I just kind of keep the even keel.
Even on a walk, like you just walked it off, you're like, yeah, it was great.
He's like, yeah, that's what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah, just hit the ball hard. It's so good. Every team, you know, you got to have the low heartbeat guy for sure. Have you always been that way? Or were you, when you were a kid, were you a little more fiery and just kind of learned? Or have you always been just pretty reserved?
I've always been kind of reserved, but I think I did it, or I started to try to do it more, you know, the more I played baseball. And it's like, as a catcher, you, both sides of the ball are so important, and you have to separate them so much that it's like, I don't want to get too overhyped, you know, from something that happens on offense and then take that to defense where I'm not focused for the pitcher. So it's just important to separate those two things. So then I just choose not to get too emotional.
Like, have you ever thrown a helmet?
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
oh,
all right, okay, good. Yeah. I just want to make sure.
He's human.
I want to make sure.
He is a all human. Right.
Good, good, good.
One more just for me. With Campy coming back, now it looks like you're going to have a little more even playing time split going forward. Is that a good thing, considering how, you know, tough the position is for a long season, 162 games behind the plate, to have two guys who can kind of split the playing time?
Yeah, I think every good team needs to have, two good catchers, because it's just so important. And there's, you know, the guys like Yadi Molina who catch 150 games a season, they just, to me, they don't really exist anymore. So, you know, it's really important to have two guys that you can count on behind the plate. So, me personally, I'm striving to always be a solid option for the team. And I know Campy does too. He's one of the hardest workers in the clubhouse. So
that's awesome, man. And you know, again, you want to be in there. Every baseball player, every pro baseball player I've ever talked to is like, I want to be in the lineup. I don't care what it takes. I just want to be in the lineup. You have to be a little bit different when you're behind the dish, and you have another guy that's wanting to get playing time as well. And you're the hot hand right now, certainly. So is there any kind of lamenting when you're not in the lineup?
No. That's the manager's job to choose the lineup. Me and Campy, we're just going to work as hard as possible, and however it shakes out, it's going to shake out. But I think we understand that. That's not our decision. The only thing we can do is play well on the field, and whatever happens is going to happen.
Love it.
So before you go, we got to check traffic. We got a couple minutes left. Would you mind picking up the guitar and just giving us a little
tread
song, your choice,
sure,
whatever you want to play? All right, we're gonna check traffic. And then when we come back, Kyle Higashioka is going to pick up Woods' Fender and play something for us before the end of the show here. That is coming up next on 97.3 The Fan. All right, Kyle Higashioka in studio. He's got the guitar. He's putting on the headphones. Don't know what direction he's going to take us, but it's all up to him now.
Phenomenal. Phenomenal. He's a shredder. You still got the Trooper
now,
in
what
you?
What was that? I don't know.
That was Round and Round by Rat. You still have the Trooper?
Yeah.
Oh, God. This was the video I saw that blew my mind. Iron Maiden. Like five,
talented at multiple things. If you tell me like you're a two handicap as well, I'm just gonna like throw you out of the studio. Okay.
He's like, no, I'm a one.
Kyle, gosh, you even my mom's texting. Going, this is so cool.
So good,
Kyle. Bro. Really appreciate it. Thank you so much for coming in this morning. It's good to see you, and good luck to the Padres the rest of the way.
Thanks for having me, guys.
That was great.
Kyle Higashioka,
so
Padres catcher. You can go and do what you need to get done here, but we really appreciate you coming in.
Thank you, man. You got your shirt if you want it?
Yep. Take some swag with you for your appearance in studio. So, Padres are back tonight after the day off. Seattle Mariners in town. It's weird how the schedule works now. In the American League, you play everybody three times except your natural rival.
Right.
You play four times, two at home, two on the road. So this is just the two-game series against the Seattle Mariners, and then another off day on Thursday. So a little quick two-game set, then three against the Atlanta Braves Friday, Saturday, and Sunday going into the All-Star break. So five more games, trying to get, you know, you want to finish strong, obviously, going into the All-Star break here. You've gotten yourself, what, four games above 500 at this point. You can have a winning record. You know, just 3-2, I would say, in the last five games here. Get to the All-Star break with some good momentum. Get a little healthier when you come back. Get some rest and come back strong for the run, the last 2 months of the season coming up here.
I mean, yeah, it's very, very imperative. July is going to be such an interesting month for this team. What happens? Who comes back? Who doesn't come back? How does Xander play when he does come back? I mean, there's so many questions. This team's never boring, Benny. They're never, ever, ever dull or boring. They do bring the blood pressure up a little bit, certainly. And I just, you listen to what Kyle said about the team being bought in. And when was the last time we actually truly heard that and believed that the team was bought in and pulling on the same, you know, all the cliches, pulling on the same rope and all that? I genuinely believe it. Flan said yesterday he watches this team every night. He knows enough people in the game. He says they're doing the right things. I don't know how it's going to shake out. I don't.
Is
but
it
I
Mike Schilt? Is it not Mike Schilt? I can't say it's not. I really can't. I mean, you know, whatever he's brought in is working for the San Diego Padres so far this season.
Yeah, no question.
And now that Kyle has left the studio, that was incredibly
cool.
That
was so cool, man.
Yeah, I didn't want to embarrass him anymore in, you know, having him in here and say, but that is truly, truly remarkable to have that skill set, to be a major league catcher and be able to play guitar like that is truly incredible.
It was amazing. When he just launches into round and round, it was so cool, dude. He's unbelievable.
It's a way to connect too with fans as well. I mean, you connect obviously every night you play on the field, but there's going to be ups and downs over the course of the baseball season. I love when players can become humans as well,
yeah,
with other
too.
Interests and, you know, they're people just like you and me, and, you know, they have things that they like to do outside of baseball.
Love
to see that.
You ever see a lower resting heart rate than that guy ever?
Goodness gracious.
Crazy.
Real quick, gentlemen, we have Padres tickets to give away.
Oh, that's right.
Beautiful. Still need to do that.
All right.
Right now.
Let's do it right now. We've got tickets for tomorrow's game. As Paul said, it is Padres Mariners, and it's the throwback 1984 celebration. The first 40,000 fans going to receive Padres throwback hats celebrating the 40th anniversary of the 1984 World Series team. Get your tickets at Padres.com/tickets or call now. Let's make it the sixth caller, 833-288-0973. Sixth caller at 833-288-0973. Going to win those tickets. As you mentioned, Tim Flannery is going to be playing and singing the national anthem. And I know they have some of the other 1984 guys that are going to be coming back to be honored. Got to meet some of them really in person for the first time, like, you know, Terry Kennedy at Fantasy Camp.
Goose Gossage.
Goose, you know, that we have a bit of a love-hate relationship, obviously. Sour 97.3, the Fan is brought to you by the Frozen Ropes Baseball and Softball Training Facilities. Frozen Ropes signing up athletes age 6 through 12 for baseball, softball, summer camps. Half-day, full-day options available. Make it a Frozen Ropes summer like Bo Woods over there. For more information, visit SanDiegoFrozenRopes.com. That's SanDiegoFrozenRopes.com.
Yeah, we haven't even mentioned the little guy's here today. You know, it's summer. We need care for him. So his old man just brings him to work. You had a question for Higgy you wanted to ask yesterday, you said, right?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
What does it take to break in a catcher's mitt?
Look at that. Better question than his old man has ever asked. Ever, never. That's first time. All right. So what do you do to break in your catcher's mitt, Kyle?
For me, I basically just catch pitches.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't really like to do anything crazy with it.
It doesn't go in the oven.
Like my wife.
I try not to add any extra weight to the leather by, like, you know, getting it too wet or anything. For me, like, you know, having a light catcher's glove is super important, because that way I can just react quicker.
But it kind of begs it leads into the next question of catching Matt Waldron, and you're over here with the Padres, and they're like, hey, welcome. You know, this is going to be your role, and you're going to catch Matt Waldron, who throws this absolutely filthy knuckleball. How much experience had you had in your life, Little League and beyond, catching somebody that threw a knuckleball consistently?
Zero.
Zero.
Yeah.
Zero. Always a fun thing to learn at the big league level, trying to contribute on a new team in a new city, as you said, you want to impress. And here's this.
Speaking again, of gloves, did that require a new mitt?
Yeah, you can't use the big one. You can't use the big floppy one that they use, right?
We just don't have one right now. So it's like
I'll take one if anyone's got one.
If anyone has one, drop it off in the studio.
I mean, there's been so much talk about it. They say that big floppy knuckleball mitt is great for knuckleballs, but Waldron also throws in, you know, 93.
Yeah.
And that's not going to feel good on your hand in that thin, floppy mitt. So you kind of have to wear the regular mitt for his other pitches.
Well, I mean, we found a knuckleball mitt, and it's just not broken in. So we're kind of trying to break that in a little bit. I'm open to trying it. But, yeah, I mean, it's just right now I'm using my backup glove, which is just bigger and floppier than my normal glove.
We hear the stories about Matt and the Tim Wakefield stories when they went to Boston and talking to Tom Candiotti and the other knuckleballers. Have they set you up with anybody who's ever caught a knuckleball? Is there any like techniques or anything like instruction they've been able to give you? Because most of the coaches don't have any experience with this either.
Yeah, some of the other guys were telling me, you know, let the ball travel. And I remember when the Yankees came into town, Trevino was telling me about some time that he had to catch a knuckleball guy, and you know, he was like saying something about keeping the thumb up or sitting side saddle. So I've also like listened to some interviews that Josh Tolley, you know, has given about it, and also I've heard some advice through the grapevine from Doug Mirabelli. But other than that, I mean, you know, I'm kind of flying solo.
Yeah, I mean, you're winging it a little bit, but again, there's obviously, it's six of one, half dozen of the other. Catching a knuckleball is really difficult, and you know, especially Matt's is just incredible, and they show it on television slowed down. And I think the layman goes, "Oh, what's so hard about that? It's not even moving that fast." But there's an art form to it, obviously, because you don't get reps doing it. The ones that get me though, for you guys, is a guy like Morejon, who comes in throwing 97 top of the zone, snaps off a slider in the dirt. I don't know how you guys do it. I'm amazed by it. Your preference, though, if you get Matt Waldron or you get Morejon and that nasty biting slider at your feet, what's easier for you?
Morejon? Yeah.
It's crazy to me. It's just crazy to me.
Yeah.
I love it, man. It's been really fun watching you, you know, hit the ball out of the ballpark, watching you guys contribute. Tell us a little bit, if you can. I know the clubhouse is really sacred, but we talk to Mike Schilt every day. The general mood of the team, I know it's your first year with the team, but you guys really seem to enjoy playing with each other a lot.
Yeah. I think kind of, you know, I think, you know, I can't speak for what, you know, went on last year, but I think a lot of guys kind of learned a little bit from their experience last year, which was probably, from what I gather, a similar experience that I had Yankees last year, where it's like we kind of underperformed, you know, didn't meet expectations. And so, you know, the general kind of vibe in the clubhouse is everyone's bought into doing whatever it takes to win ball games. And, you know, as of right now, this year, I think, you know, we're on a good path. We're looking to find some consistency, but I think we're showing signs of that. And, you know, everyone's just fully bought into doing whatever it takes.
Kyle Higashioka is with us in studio. And Potters have what? 8 walk-offs this year, including yours, Kyle, about a month ago. Now, we talked about it the day after. In terms of the walk-off celebrations, you know, we just saw Manny the other day, and everyone's slapping high fives as you're going down to first base. Yours was the most reserved of all of them. And that fits a little more with your personality. But I don't know. What, like, with all these celebrations that go, what do you feel like what's your go-to move on the celebrations?
Nothing.
Yeah.
Low heartbeat guy.
Are you even out there? Or are you
I'm
out
not,
there on
I'm
some
not
of the other
the,
ones?
I'm not the hype guy. We have other guys dancing and doing everything. I just kind of keep the even keel.
Even on a walk, like you just walked it off, you're like, yeah, it was great.
He's like, yeah, that's what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah, just hit the ball hard. It's so good. Every team, you know, you got to have the low heartbeat guy for sure. Have you always been that way? Or were you, when you were a kid, were you a little more fiery and just kind of learned? Or have you always been just pretty reserved?
I've always been kind of reserved, but I think I did it, or I started to try to do it more, you know, the more I played baseball. And it's like, as a catcher, you, both sides of the ball are so important, and you have to separate them so much that it's like, I don't want to get too overhyped, you know, from something that happens on offense and then take that to defense where I'm not focused for the pitcher. So it's just important to separate those two things. So then I just choose not to get too emotional.
Like, have you ever thrown a helmet?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, all right, good. Yeah. I just wanted to make sure.
He's human.
Sure.
He is a right. human.
Good.
One more just for me. With Campy coming back, now it looks like you're going to have a little more even playing time split going forward. Is that a good thing, considering how, you know, tough the position is for a long season, 162 games behind the plate, to have two guys who can kind of split the playing time?
Yeah, I think every good team needs to have, you know, two good catchers, because it's just so important. And there's, you know, the guys like Yadi Molina who catch 150 games a season, they just, to me, they don't really exist anymore. So, you know, it's really important to have two guys that you can count on behind the plate. So, you know, me personally, I'm striving to always be a solid option for the team. And I know Campy does too. He's one of the hardest workers in the clubhouse. So
that's awesome, man. And, you know, again, you want to be in there. Every baseball player, every pro baseball player I've ever talked to is like, I want to be in the lineup. I don't care what it takes. I just want to be in the lineup. You have to be a little bit different when you're behind the dish, and you have another guy that's wanting to get playing time as well. And you're the hot hand right now, certainly. So is there any kind of lamenting when you're not in the lineup?
No. You know, that's the manager's job to choose the lineup. You know, me and Campy, we're just going to work as hard as possible. And however it shakes out, it's going to shake out. But, you know, I think we understand that, you know, that's not our decision. The only thing we can do is play well on the field, and whatever happens is going to happen.
Love it.
So before you go, we got to check traffic. We got a couple minutes left. Would you mind picking up the guitar and just giving us a little
tread
song, your choice,
sure,
whatever you want to play? All right, we're gonna check traffic. And then when we come back, Kyle Higashioka is going to pick up Woods' Fender and play something for us before the end of the show here. That is coming up next on 97.3 The Fan. All right, Kyle Higashioka in studio. He's got the guitar. He's putting on the headphones. Don't know what direction he's going to take us, but it's all up to him now.
Phenomenal. He's a shredder. You still got the trooper
now, what
in you?
Was that? I don't
that
know.
That was Round and Round by Rat. You still have the trooper?
Yeah.
Oh, God. This was the video I saw that blew my mind. Iron Maiden. Like five,
talented at multiple things. If you tell me like you're a two handicap as well, I'm just gonna like throw you out of the studio. Okay.
He's like, no, I'm a one.
Kyle Higashioka, even my mom's texting going, this is so cool.
So good.
Kyle, really appreciate it. Thank you so much for coming in this morning. It's good to see you, and good luck to the Padres the rest of the way.
Oh, thanks for having me, guys.
That was great.
Kyle Higashioka,
so
Padres catcher. You can go and do what you need to get done here, but we really appreciate you coming in.
Thank you, man. You got your shirt if you want it?
Yep, take some swag with you for your appearance in studio. So, Padres are back tonight after the day off. Seattle Mariners in town. It's weird how the schedule works now. In the American League, you play everybody three times except your natural rival.
Right.
You play four times, two at home, two on the road. So this is just the two-game series against the Seattle Mariners, and then another off day on Thursday. So a little quick two-game set, then three against the Atlanta Braves Friday, Saturday, and Sunday going into the All-Star break. So five more games trying to get, you know, you want to finish strong, obviously, going into the All-Star break here. You've gotten yourself, what, four games above 500 at this point. If you can have a winning record, you know, just 3-2, I would say, in the last five games here. Get to the All-Star break with some good momentum. Get a little healthier when you come back, get some rest, and come back strong for the run, the last 2 months of the season coming up here.
I mean, yeah, it's very, very imperative. July is going to be such an interesting month for this team. What happens? Who comes back? Who doesn't come back? How does Xander play when he does come back? I mean, there is just there's so many questions. This team's never boring, Benny. They're never, ever, ever dull or boring. They do bring the blood pressure up a little bit, certainly. And I just, you know, you listen to what Kyle said about the team being bought in. And when was the last time we actually truly heard that and believed that the team was bought in and pulling on the same, you know, all the cliches, pulling on the same rope and all that. I genuinely believe it. Flan said yesterday he watches this team every night. He knows enough people in the game. He says they're doing the right things. I don't know how it's going to shake out. I don't.
Is
but
it
I believe
Mike Shildt? Is it not Mike Shildt? I can't say it's not. I really can't. I mean, you know, whatever he's brought in is working for the San Diego Padres so far this season.
Yeah, no question.
And now that Kyle has left the studio, that was incredibly
cool. That was
so cool, man.
Yeah, I didn't want to embarrass him anymore in, you know, having him in here and say, but that is truly, truly remarkable to have that skill set, to be a major league catcher and be able to play guitar like that is truly incredible.
It was amazing. When he just launches into round and round, it was so cool, dude. He's unbelievable.
It's a way to connect too with fans as well. I mean, you connect obviously every night you play on the field, but there's going to be ups and downs over the course of the baseball season. I love when players can become humans as well,
yeah,
with other
too.
Interests and, you know, they're people just like you and me, and, you know, they have things that they like to do outside of baseball.
Love
to see that.
You ever see a lower resting heart rate than that guy ever?
Goodness gracious.
Crazy.
Real quick, gentlemen, we have Padres tickets to give away.
Oh, that's right.
Beautiful. Still need to do that.
All right.
Right now.
Let's do it right now. We've got tickets for tomorrow's game. As Paul said, it is Padres Mariners, and it's the throwback 1984 celebration. The first 40,000 fans going to receive Padres throwback hats celebrating the 40th anniversary of the 1984 World Series team. Get your tickets at Padres.com/tickets or call now. Let's make it the sixth caller, 833-288-0973. Sixth caller at 833-288-0973. Going to win those tickets. As you mentioned, Tim Flannery is going to be playing and singing the national anthem. And I know they have some of the other 1984 guys that are going to be coming back to be honored. Got to meet some of them really in person for the first time, like, you know, Terry Kennedy at Fantasy Camp.
Goose Gossage.
Goose, you know, that we're... We have a bit of a love-hate relationship, obviously.
No, I think it's mostly hate. I don't think there's any love there.
No, I love Goose.
Okay.
Well, one of my favorites.
On his.
Absolutely.
On his.
His part is mostly hate.
Yeah,
but my part is definitely more love of Goose Gossage. So that'll be a really fun... Really fun day tomorrow as the Padres wrap up this quick two-game series against the Mariners on their throwback day.
Tell them.
You're a nerd too.
I'm a nerd too. I don't know that you. I don't know that you can say that, Bo.
Sweet baby. Oh, I love it. I love it. That was really, really cool. Really cool. One of the cooler moments we've had.
Absolutely.
Just picks it up and just starts shredding Iron Maiden's "The Trooper," which is not easy to do. Not easy.
No, no, those weren't simple. Simple licks, as far as I can tell. I've never played the guitar before.
It's hard.
In my life,
everything on that instrument is hard.
That's what I think.
Everything.
Too. I'm not Benny, crazy when I look at it and go, how does anyone make any noises come out of this thing at all that makes sense?
I started playing when I was like five, like noodling around. I'm 48 years old. I can't play like a riff. I mean, it's just so hard to do. It's so hard to learn your fingers and your, you know, it's just.
Now, I didn't play the Guitar Hero video game. A lot of people did that. I didn't either. As well.
It's not even close to the same. It's like saying I was really good at MLB The Show, so I could be a big leaguer. I could call a game. I call it MLB The Show. You pick that thing up, and it's so intimidating. It's so intimidating. So it takes years and years of practice and that. But to sit down and just shred it was great. was just great.
All right, Paulie, we just got a winner for the tickets.
Yes, Robert.
Robert, congratulations.
It's his birthday on Friday.
Nice. Well, happy birthday.
Woods' birthday next Friday.
That's right.
So it's a good birthday month in July. Everyone else, thank you so much for calling in. Sorry we didn't have more pairs of tickets to give away, but congratulations to Robert for winning those tickets. We'll come back tomorrow morning, 6 to 10, and we will have Big League Wednesday. We didn't talk to Adam Jones last week, so I assume we'll try to track him down.
He's going
to
be good.
Tomorrow's show, that's
and,
good.
Booney tomorrow as well.
Yes. And Brett Boone tomorrow. So Big League Wednesday in full effect, and hopefully have a win to talk about for the Padres. You know, two-game losing streaks are going to happen. They're fine. You do want to nip them in the bud. This will be a tough one, though. You got an all-star on the mound for the Mariners tonight in Logan Gilbert.
He's nasty, man.
And as far as we know, Adam Major is still scheduled to pitch for the Padres. He has thrown a little bit better the last couple of starts. Still gets hit hard a lot.
Gets hit
though.
Hard, doesn't have a lot of swing and miss. But the Mariners are not really good offensively.
They haven't been. They've been having trouble scoring runs. They got great pitching, but offensively they've struggled. Julio Rodriguez has not had a great season, but he certainly is always a threat to hit at 460 feet.
Shut up.
Just mentioning it. Just, you know, the reality of what the Padres are facing coming up here. It's a first-place team.
Yeah.
Now, they were 10 games up on the Astros like 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Astros
now it's down
creeping.
To what? Two, three games back. They're hot. They're very much in the rearview mirror at this point. If I'm a Seattle fan, I'm going, uh-oh, we had a chance to put that team away when they got off to a bad start, and we have now let them completely bank in it in the American League West. And that's not the team you really want chasing you down at this point.
Get a dub, my friends.
All right, we'll be back to talk about it tomorrow. Annie and Elston are coming up next. They'll take you to the next 4 hours until 10 o'clock. Thank you to Kyle Higashioka in studio. Thanks to Bo Woods. You're a nerd too, Bo. Paul Reindel is our executive producer and imaging director for Stephen Woods. I'm Ben Higgins. Good to be back. Have a great rest of your Tuesday from all of us here at San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.